This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
We really haven't done the really tough sanctions yet. We can do the tough sanctions, and all options are open, so we may be doing that. But we haven't done the toughest of sanctions, as you know. We've done, right down the middle. But we can go a lot tougher if we need to do that. But it's a very sad thing. We're not looking for anything other than taking care of a lot of people that are starving and dying in the streets. What's happening there is a disgrace. This was one of the wealthiest countries in the world. And all of a sudden, it's grief-stricken, poverty-stricken, no food, no water, no air conditioning, no anything, no power for a long time last week, no power. And that's going to break down again because it's being held together by threats. So it's very sad, Roberta, very sad to see.
That's the president today in the White House Rose Garden talking about Venezuela. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. Facebook.com/Zioli Show. What they won't talk about is that. I was watching CNN. I had CNN on for most of the day. And CNN wanted nothing to talk about with regards to Venezuela. Nothing. They wanted nothing on Venezuela. All they wanted to do was mention how the president and the president of Brazil call the media fake news. That's it. That's all they wanted to talk about. Jim Acosta came on a little bit later. Jim Acosta, who the only reason why you know his name is because of Donald Trump. Jim Acosta came on TV, on CNN a little bit later, not to talk about how, you know, the president's pointing out Venezuela is socialist and a lot of Democrats are running as socialists right now. No, he had this to say.
I think, Brooke, the thing that has to be noted, and we'd be remiss if we didn't note it, is that when the president of Brazil mentioned the term fake news, he got sort of a smile and a nod from President Trump. And you know, this is something that we've seen since President Trump came into office, called this network fake news, has referred to the press as the enemy of the people and so on, is that this is a virus that is spreading around the world. When you have the president of Brazil calling the press the fake news, he is trying to essentially, you know, in a sycophantic sort of way, suck up to the president of the United States. I mean, there's just no other way of putting it, and trying to emulate him down, as they call him in Brazil, as the Trump of the tropics. You know, this is another example of
just
what
whining.
When the president
just
of the United States
whining.
Says something here in the U.S., referring to the press as fake news, referring to the press in other derogatory terms, other leaders around the world, other governments around the world are listening, and Jair Bolsonaro proved that to all of us here in this Rose Garden News Conference. Brooke?
Now, they spent so much time on that and neglected to talk about Venezuela, because the president pointing out Venezuela is a mess goes exactly to the heart of the socialist mantra. And it shows you why socialism doesn't work. It doesn't work anywhere it's ever been tried, ever. And despite what your hacky sack playing friend told you in college, it's not a matter of it just not being tried properly. It's a matter of it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And now you have Democrats running to out-socialist each other. So instead of focusing on that, you know, I mean, wouldn't it be interesting if Jim Acosta came on and said, well, Brooke, you know, the fact that the president of another president from that region talking about this country, Venezuela, and how terrible it is as we're looking at an election with a socialist on the ticket, Brooke, it's quite the political backdrop. Of course, they don't want to hurt the socialists who are running for president as Democrats, because these guys like to run around and say, well, we're for the Swiss socialism. We like Sweden socialism. We like Norway socialism. Those countries aren't socialist. They might have a program or two, but they're not socialist countries. Where socialism has tried, socialism has failed every time. Now, Cory Booker, Senator Calcran Stangela, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage Band, he was asked by Chris Matthews. Now, I want you to listen to the little word game he plays here. Little word game by Senator Cory Booker.
Are you a socialist?
I am not a socialist.
Well, you've got people in the party who are.
I am a Democrat. I believe in fundamental democratic principles. I believe that we need more democracy, not less. I believe all this money in politics is anti-democratic. I think gerrymandering is anti-democratic.
He's off the socialism thing.
I even watched an election where somebody won the majority of votes, got 3 million more.
See? What he wants to pretend is that, no, I'm not a member of the Socialist Party. But Booker's on board with a lot of these socialist policies. He's on board with it, too. Look, if somebody, say the Democrats were your kids, right? You would take the kid up and you'd smack him upside the head. I don't endorse that, by the way. I would never do it. But the old saying, you smack him upside the head and you set him right and you go, what are you doing? The fact is the Democrats are going so far to the left, they have no chance of winning in the general election. But they're worried about their base. And they're worried about their base because their base just got out of college and they've been out of college and they want socialism and this is their time now. And so you have to walk this fine line of endorsing socialist policies while not calling yourself a socialist. But these are socialist policies, make no mistake. And also, by the way, as socialists go, you wind up restricting people's freedom all the time. Elizabeth Warren was asked the question about stopping people from buying guns, okay? 3B.
But instead, with gun violence, right now, we're not doing anything. Not even the most sensible kinds of things. Background checks. At the federal level, no fly, no buy. Like if you're on the terrorist watch list, maybe you shouldn't be able to buy a gun.
How about this? If you're on the terrorist watch list, how about you're not allowed to fly on a plane or drive a car or vote or, I don't know, leave your house? You realize that Elizabeth Warren is proposing now that if the government puts you on a list, you lose a constitutional right. Think about that for a second. If you're on the terrorist watch list, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. Well, A, if you're on the terrorist watch list and you actually are a terrorist, you're not buying a gun legally, because that's the least of our problems. B, why are you okay with just putting people on arbitrary lists and then taking away their rights? What other rights would you take away from them if they're on the terrorist watch list? How about this? If you're on the terrorist watch list, cops don't have to get a warrant. If you're on the terrorist watch list, no First Amendment rights for you. Keep your mouth shut. If you're on the terrorist watch list, you're not allowed to vote. If you're on the terrorist watch list, you're not allowed to, you don't even get a trial. We just skip over the trial. We just decide you're guilty and you go right to prison. What other rights do we want to suspend for people that are put on arbitrary government lists, Senator Warren? But this is what they do. They take away freedom, and they have to do that under the guise of protecting all of us, don't they? Now, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who at one time now was a staunch Second Amendment supporter, she said, in New York State when she ran for Congress. She said, I have two guns under my bed. And she got an A-plus rating from the NRA. And then she decided, well, I want to be a senator. And in New York State, it's different from my district. As a congresswoman, now I got to run for the whole state, and the state's crazy, so I have to embrace leftism. And so she did. And now she's going even a step further.
Unfortunately, because the gun manufacturers only care about gun sales, they oppose the common sense reform that can save lives. They want to oppose universal background checks because they want to sell an assault rifle to a teenager in a Walmart, or to someone on the terror watch list, or to someone who's gravely mentally ill with a violent background, or to someone with a criminal conviction for a violent crime. They want to sell those weapons. That's why they oppose universal background checks. That's why they won't oppose something as simple as bump stocks or banning assault rifles or large magazines. They want to sell those things, no matter what, to anybody.
To anybody. What's wrong, by the way, with a teenager buying an assault rifle at Walmart? I mean, your party wants to let them vote at 16, so why can't they also get a gun? What are you suggesting? Are you suggesting that they're not capable of using that firearm properly, but you'll give them the right to vote at 16? Okay. Then people on the no-fly list. So, again, you're put on a list. Now you lose your constitutional rights. They could give a damn about due process. They don't care about due process whatsoever. And gun manufacturers want to sell to people on the terror watch list. Why wouldn't we sell it to people on the terror watch list? They haven't been convicted of anything. They have not been convicted of a single thing. See, in our country, we don't just put you on lists and take away your rights. It's not how it's supposed to work in this country. It's how it works in Venezuela and all socialist communist countries. It works that way too. This is really, I mean, they are going down such a dangerous road here of losing freedom. Elizabeth Warren also talked about getting rid of the Electoral College.
Come a general election, presidential candidates don't come to places like Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They also don't come to places like California and Massachusetts, right? Because we're not the battleground states. Well, my view is that every vote matters. And the way we can make that happen is that we can have national voting, and that means get rid of the Electoral College and everybody.
You hear the disdain in her voice when she says Kentucky? You hear the disdain or Mississippi? She just has disdain in where she has to even go. If they had it their way, they would never leave California or New York. They'd go back and forth from California to New York on their high-speed train they're going to build. Oh, that's right. California canceled it. Well, they would just have a high-speed train between Brooklyn and San Francisco, and they could just go back and forth and back and forth. The truth is, nobody would care about Mississippi if you got rid of the Electoral College. But, of course, the cackling seals in the audience don't realize that. Nobody would give a damn about Mississippi if you got rid of the Electoral College or any other state that doesn't have a lot of people in it. Because they would only care about the big states. Because now you're trying to go with a majority of votes. You're not trying to campaign and then make yourself relevant and represent people in various... This country's very diverse, as you know, very big. I mean, in terms of diversity of needs, in terms of what's important to one region is different from another region. Do you want California and New York making all the decisions for everybody in this country? Because that's essentially what it would be. You get rid of the Electoral College, Mississippi no longer counts. But she doesn't want it to count. I mean, they only want their utopian states of California and New York to set the rules for everybody else. Just remember that. That's what it is. Now, NBC News had a very tough question for a 2020 Democrat. This is now Chris Matthews. I don't know how Cory Booker survived this question. This is tough.
Meanwhile,
this is a tough question.
Meanwhile,
hang on, stop. I'm setting it up. This is the Today Show now with, as you can imagine, trying to get Cory Booker on the hot seat here, MSNBC's Chris Matthews being incredibly rude.
Meanwhile, as the Democratic base pushes issues of racial and gender equality, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker asked tough questions about President Trump by MSNBC's Chris Matthews.
Is he racist?
He's a guy that...
Is he a racist?
Racist thinks he's racist. And his language hurts people. His language is causing pain, fear. The way he's talking is making people afraid.
That's their idea of a tough question. Is Trump a racist? Cory Booker asked tough questions today by Chris Matthews of MSNBC. Is he a racist? That's your tough question. That's your tough question. Amazing. Ted Koppel, who used to be on ABC, I guess it was back in the day. Yeah, ABC News. Ted Koppel, he was on a discussion with Marvin Kalb at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. And he said something here that's probably going to get him kicked out of the Cool Kids Club, the Journalist Cool Kids Club. Take a listen.
We're not talking about the New York Times of 50 years ago. We are not talking about the Washington Post of 50 years ago. We're talking about organizations that I believe have, in fact, decided as organizations that Donald J. Trump is bad for the United States. We have things appearing on the front page of the New York Times right now that never would have appeared 50 years ago. Analysis, commentary on the front page. I remember sitting at the breakfast table with my wife during the campaign after the Access Hollywood tape came out, and the New York Times, and I will not offend any of you here by using the language, but you know exactly what words were used. And they were spelled out on the front page of the New York Times. I turned to my wife and I said, the Times is absolutely committed to making sure that this guy does not get elected. So his perception that the establishment press is out to get him doesn't mean that great journalism is not being done. It is. But the notion that most of us look upon Donald Trump as being an absolute fiasco, he's not mistaken in that perception, and he's not mistaken when so many of the liberal media, for example, describe themselves as belonging to the resistance.
Ted Koppel, who then was taken out back, and that was the last we've ever heard from Ted Koppel. May he rest in peace. I mean, really, that was amazing what he said. I still can't believe it, but may Ted Koppel forever rest in peace on this sad day, the end of his life, as the media... Anyway, he's not really dead, thank God. But how about that? I mean, you might think you're dead listening to him say all that and go, am I in... Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. Who is... I don't even know this song. What song is this?
The Rolling Stones. Dead Flowers.
Oh, I was just not thinking of the Rolling Stones. It's actually a really good song. You don't normally go back that far. You, usually, like, the 80s is where you kind of stop, usually.
No, I try and put in some... I try and do as much, you know, classic rock. Because yeah. I, you know.
Yeah, now I know it. I wasn't expecting Greg Stocker to play a Rolling Stones song. Greg always posts a list of all the songs that he puts on the show. You can follow him on Twitter at Greg Stocker, and you can see the daily playlist.
The Rich Zioli Show playlist.
Official playlist.
Yes, which other radio shows have ripped off from.
Have they really?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah, there might be a show in New York that has just started doing it, and the producer ironically follows me on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
You hear that, Dawn? They're ripping us off again.
That's a sin.
They always do this. They always do this. Podcaster or the same?
No, he's on the same station,
though, right?
He's on the same station, yeah. I know the guy. He's a nice enough guy, but, you know.
That's not nice.
Exactly.
That's not nice.
They should have to give you credit.
And believe me, if I was not a free agent right now, I'd be bashing the hell out of that radio station, but... Just kidding. I'm only kidding. Too soon for jokes. 855-839-1210. By the way, do you know there's still a Blockbuster in Oregon?
No.
Yeah, this is amazing to me. There's a Blockbuster in Oregon. They have it's the last Blockbuster on Earth. On Earth!
So, if you have an old video that you find in your house, you could just send it to them. That would be very funny.
Yeah. There's another Blockbuster in Australia. It shut its doors on March 31st. So that means that this store in Bend, Oregon will be the only one left on Earth and most likely in the universe. Blockbuster Video. I used to love going to video stores. I used to love it, you know, and looking around and picking up the movies and reading the boxes. And
yeah.
That was fun.
It was.
I miss that. It's not the same when you're scrolling through Netflix or Amazon or something. It's like, you know, the experience of... And then remember you'd go and you'd see if you can get the new releases before they were taken. And you get to the video store on a Friday night, you'd be like, damn it! They're all gone! You know?
That was... And they used to have like 30 copies of it, but they were all sold out of them.
Yeah. And you said sometimes you could reserve them. Remember you could reserve?
Yep.
But the worst would be, you know, you're racing to get to the Blockbuster on a Friday night. Like, I got it. This is brand new. I got to get the movie. It's not there. And then you go, I don't know. And then you just walk around. And you're like, sucks. I wanted to see what I wanted to see. This is terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
At least now you never have that problem.
No.
Like, you'll never race home to buy a movie on demand and then it's sold out. Like, I'm sorry, we only let 10,000 downloads and we're done.
Well, that would be interesting.
That would be interesting. Actually, you could do as you know, like a
exclusive.
You want to pay more for this? It'd be like college. You know, you want to pay more?
I wonder what it is about Bend, Oregon that has kept that Blockbuster and Video for so long. You know, like, do they not get internet out there or something?
It's a great question. I think there's some people that just really like the feeling of having a DVD. They have those kiosks everywhere. You see those?
Redbox.
Yeah, like Redbox, yeah. I see a lot of people use those still. They get
DVD.
My problem is this. I'm always late. I'm perpetually late. I'm the guy that when the video store was closing, it was, do you mind paying this $21.95 from Kindergarten Cop? Can you just help us out here?
Like, Kindergarten Cop.
I was always late with the movies. That's why I stopped doing the kiosks, because I would be late too. I'd be like, it's just another dollar. What's another day? And then you return it. You've been charged $8. Yeah. That's, it's so stupid. This is terrible. But yeah, Oregon, huh? I wonder if our buddy Richard, who lives out in Walla Walla, Washington, that's not too far from Oregon. Richard, maybe go up there and take a look for us, do a little road trip. The last blockbuster on the planet. How about that, huh? Joe, you ever go to a video store? You're 23. You ever been inside one?
Been inside one. I love the video stores. I remember when they built a Blockbuster by my house. It was the happiest day of my life.
Really?
I loved it. Hey, Dawn, let's be fair. I was 8.
You were 8. He was conceived in a Hollywood video. Remember Hollywood Video?
Section with the beads.
Hollywood Video was big for a while.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Then there was Borders. Remember Borders, books and music and movies? Certainly. And they're gone. They're wiped out. They're away.
There used to be one in Lehigh Valley called the 48 Hours Video where you could run.
I had that right by me too.
That's a peep show place, yeah. Right? All right, I remember in high school, I still remember, they had this one video store, and they had a curtain up in the adult section.
Oh, yeah.
And it was always how long we could spend behind the curtain to check out the adult time. And they weren't like, it wasn't porn or anything, but it was, you know, the R-rated movies.
Behind the satin curtain.
Yeah, it was the, what was that movie with Tina, what's her face? Oh, gosh, I can't think of it now. No, it was Body Heat. Remember that movie, Body Heat?
Heat.
Is that Sharon Stone?
No, that was Basic Instinct. Heat was Catherine. Her name's right in front of me now. Somebody's going to tweet.
I know.
But I remember, and then it was like holding the box, looking at Body Heat, and the manager comes over and goes, "Put that down!" It's like, "Oh, sorry. Put it down right now. I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to." So we would always try to see who can spend time in the adult, the rated
Kathleen
R section.
Turner.
Kathleen Turner. Yes.
Have you seen her now?
She does not look like she did in Body Heat.
No.
Not even close.
I've met her. I've interviewed her.
Have you really?
Yeah.
What was she like?
She's a lot of fun. Like, you would want to party with her. She's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But she looks nothing like she looked.
No, nothing.
Yeah, back in the day.
Kathleen Turner, Richard Crenna, who was in Rambo 2, and Ted Danson. And Mickey Rourke.
Yep. Oof.
Wow.
Wait, we're all in Body Heat?
We're all in Body Heat.
Who was the lead guy in Body
Heat? William Hurt.
William Hurt, right.
Broadcast News.
That movie was very scandalous at the time.
Yes.
Now that movie would be considered to be a kid's flick, a how-to in high school now. Yeah, they'd use that as in part of their sex ed classes. Now, Bill is in Millville. Bill apparently knows about Bend, Oregon. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of business out in California and in that area. And that's Bend, Oregon, is where all the old corduroy suits and bell-bottom pants got sent.
So really, it's kind of retro back there?
Yes.
And have you been to that Blockbuster?
I have.
Do you owe them money in late fines?
No, I do not.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. One guy's been to Bend, Oregon. One person's ever visited there. It's amazing to me. I'm in Bend. Do you think that if you wake up in Bend, Oregon, your karma is really displaced? Like,
yes.
Well, who did you make mad?
Yes,
you
know? Exactly.
I'm in the last Blockbuster on Earth in Bend, Oregon. Things have not worked out for me in life. I don't know anything about, I just know Oregon has got great Pinot Noir, as I mentioned to you. It's delicious Pinot Noirs. It's all I know about Oregon. It's all I care to know about Oregon. That and the Blockbuster. Now I know more about Oregon than most people do. Amazing. I'm such a snob when it comes to that stuff. Let's see here now. Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard is a young woman running for president. She's a congresswoman from the state of Hawaii. She has no chance of winning her party's nomination. None, zero, zilch, nada, none. Because Tulsi Gabbard has the audacity, and this is not popular within the Democratic Party. Cut 8.
I'm running for president to serve you as commander in chief, to bring an end to these wasteful interventionist wars, to work to end this new Cold War, and to end this nuclear arms race and take the trillions of dollars that we are spending on these wars and bring them back here into our pockets, investing them in our people, investing them in our communities, and in our future.
No shot. No shot whatsoever. No shot. I wish she had a shot. I really like her, but you can't go on with that kind of a thing. They'll destroy you for saying stuff like that. Now, this is amazing. Dawn mentioned earlier there was a disgusting plant that identifies as a cheesesteak.
Yes.
It's a piece of soy matter. It's like a tofu thing. And it identifies as a cheesesteak.
And it's going to be introduced at Citizens Bank Park.
At Citizens Bank Park. Yeah. Now, you know, I would like to know why my cheesesteak cannot identify as a healthy salad. My innocent little cheesesteak.
It can be whatever it wants.
I tell my doctor that my cheesesteak identifies as broccoli. So there you go. This is what I mean about vegans and vegetarians. You have all this weird food that's not that food, but you appropriate that food. So you go, oh, bacon. No, it's not bacon. It's tofu is what it is. But they go, oh, look, bacon. Why are you allowed to appropriate my bacon is my question.
You're not getting any support from this group.
I know.
I'm the mom who got busted because David tried real bacon and I'd been giving him
and he fell in love, right? Instant love.
And he was like, this is delicious. What is mom giving me?
Yeah, David, I'm on your side, buddy. Well, once you try real bacon, you can't go back to that soy crap, right. That, you know, the paper,
but
cardboard.
They don't know until they know.
Well, then
but
you
then
know.
You're like the worst mom ever.
What have you been giving me all these years? What is this? And then you let them try it and they go, oh, I'm free. Well, this is a vegetarian McDonald's customer yells at staff after they serve him meat a second time now. He's very upset. Very upset here.
Call the police. You honestly call the police today. Second time around, you guys give me a non-wage bill. Who do you think you guys are? Don't give me one fortunate crap. How can you do it wrong the second time around? Who do you think you guys are? I'm telling you, no, why would I come down? Second time round, no, everyone wants to listen to the kind of service you guys provide.
That is the spokesman of the vegetarian community. Perfectly reasonable. Under fire. All right, now our dear friend Claire on Twitter sent me a tweet of a guy stealing an ATM machine in broad daylight and trying to get on a New Jersey transit bus with it. I don't know if it's real. I just retweeted it because it's hysterical. As the guy tries to negotiate with the driver bringing the ATM machine on his bus. If this is real, this guy is the stupidest criminal in the history of crime. If this is a gag and he's like a comedian or something, then he's a genius.
Yeah.
He's also lucky he's alive because I don't know. I mean, you're dragging an ATM machine across the street in the middle of the daytime. And you're not the Joker. You've got a problem. But I just retweeted this. Take a look at it. I wonder if it's real. I can't tell.
See this.
I don't know. I mean, I said it's got to be real. Just a guy stealing an ATM machine trying to board a bus in the middle of the day. What are you going to do?
Oh, my God.
It's breaking 911, meanwhile, in New Jersey. And I don't know. I don't know anymore. But if this guy made it up, like if we find out this guy's some aspiring stand-up comedian or something, bravo to him.
Yeah, that's hysterical.
Otherwise, if this is real, this guy needs to be taken off the streets indefinitely. 855-839-1210.
All the other stuff, this breaking 911 post seems to be legit.
Right?
So it looks like it is.
I mean, it's definitely happening. I guess the question is with this guy.
Was it a real?
Is he really doing this?
Yeah.
Is he really dragging an ATM machine onto a bus?
I mean, it's a pretty elaborate video. 31 seconds of this guy
dragging a heavy ATM machine. I've been trying to board the Beto. He doesn't have bus fare. So Beto's campaign. Remember the movie Soylent Green? Soylent Green is made of people. Remember? Soylent Green is made of people. People! People! Joe, you remember that movie?
I don't remember this movie.
Considered a new release, right?
A little too new for me.
A little too new for you.
A little too modern. I don't know.
By the way, Alan on Twitter would like to know where you get your black and white VHS tapes without a Blockbuster.
You have to go to all the right places: the garbage cans, the dumpsters, the landfills.
I got it. Those are all the same things. Those are literally all the same things: garbage cans, dumpsters, and landfills. The same thing.
Tomato, potato.
And not don't talk back. You're
Jennifer Anderson, Amy Adams.
Zip it. Beto. Beto O'Rourke. Beto is, this is how his campaign is powered, by the way.
I say thank you to everyone who is helping to build the largest grassroots campaign this country has ever seen, funded completely by, powered completely by people, not PACs, not lobbyists, not corporations, and not special interests. It's one of the best ways to bring the country together is to make sure that we are listening to one another and not that entrenchment of wealth and power and privilege that has defined so much of our politics from before.
That guy doesn't say anything that ever makes sense to me. It's just words in a salad that he just throws out there. Our campaign is powered by people. Just people. He raised millions of dollars over the weekend, but the campaign is apparently powered by people. Now, I saw a story on Billy Penn that some candidates are considering killing the soda tax. That'll never happen in Philadelphia. But there's another story that I want to share with you, a little bit of breaking news. The Supreme Court today sided with the president, a victory on immigration detention, which upholds the rule of law and immigration in cases dating back to the Obama administration. It was a 5-4 split. Court saying that the administration can detain people who are in this country but have committed crimes. The Supreme Court on Tuesday backed the Trump administration's ability to detain immigrants with criminal records at any time and hold them indefinitely while they await deportation, even if they've served time for their offense years ago. In a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court reversed the Ninth Circuit's finding that the mandatory detention requirement for certain immigrants with criminal records applies only if an immigrant is detained by officials as soon as he or she is released from jail. In delivering the decision, which split the justices along their ideological lines, Justice Samuel Alito said the Ninth Circuit's interpretation conflicts with the plain text and structure of the law Congress created for immigrants who have committed certain dangerous crimes. Quote, if the alien evades arrest for some short period of time, according to respondents, even 24 hours is too long, the mandatory detention requirement is inapplicable and the alien must have an opportunity to apply for release on bond or parole. Four other courts have rejected this interpretation of the statute, and we agree that the Ninth Circuit's interpretation is wrong. And in a dissenting opinion, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan joined Justice Stephen Breyer when they disagree with the majority's reading of the law. I'll have more on this for you for tomorrow, but this is it's another win for the president, 5-4 in the Supreme Court. But still, 5-4, you see how close this is. 5-4. Very, very close. The other thing I wanted to mention to you... this is a question of, I guess, where we're going here as a country. We always have those kind of questions. CNN was shocked to find that there are Latinos who support Trump in building a border wall. I'll have to, like, they're stunned by this. They're actually amazed by this. Take a listen.
The U.S.-Mexico border in South Texas, dividing countries and Latino voters.
You were born and raised in McAllen, Texas, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And you live a mile from where we're standing, the wall.
Uh-huh.
And you want to see this not only taller, but longer.
Longer and taller, yes.
How much taller?
Twice as much at least.
And you want the whole border, 2,600
yes.
miles?
2,600 miles, yes, sir. I don't think the wall is going to be a barrier, really, for the good people. It'll be a barrier for the bad people. The
president still has some Latino support, about a third, which is on par with other past Republican presidents.
You're working on your citizenship.
I am working on my citizenship. I am
so you can't
legal
vote for Trump.
Not yet.
Mayra Gutierrez came to the U.S. from Mexico when she was 3. She is working toward getting her citizenship in hopes to vote for the president come 2020. Her top 3 issues: abortion, the economy, and immigration.
We do have a lot of problems here with immigration, and I do support his stance for the wall.
Trump-supporting Latinos here say the president has more support than many are willing to admit. Wasim Hernandez is president of the Hidalgo County Young Republicans. He says membership has more than doubled in the last year.
How difficult a sell is it to young Republicans, to young people, to Latinos in this area to support the Republican Party and the president?
I'm actually quite shocked because the last time the president visited, or the last time he came to the Valley, you know, there was a lot of people that were out there supporting him.
Hernandez and other Latinos we spoke to have little doubt that with their help, Trump will win a second term in office and make good on his promise to fix an immigration system they view as broken.
That's awkward. That is very, very awkward. I mean, that's awkward. Wow. Wow. Anyway, just another day over at CNN. I love that. I don't know what's more fun, that or the Ted Koppel going, of course they hate him. That was good, too. Now, you notice how one of the women there mentioned abortion as her issue, all right? Now, this is true about a lot of Latino voters happen to be very pro-life. It's not something you ever hear about in the media, and I'm not one to put people in boxes, as you know, but I also know that it's important to a lot, not all, but a lot of Latino voters. They're Catholic, and, you know, they're actually pro-life. Beto O'Rourke yesterday was asked a question about late-term abortion. Now, this is an issue now. It's a campaign issue, and it's here to stay. But I want you to listen to Beto O'Rourke completely dodge the question.
Are you for third trimester abortions, or are you going to protect the lives of third trimester babies? Because, you know, there's really not a medical necessity for abortion. It's not a medical emergency procedure, because typically third trimester abortions take up to 3 days to have. So you would, in that sense, if there was an emergency, the doctors would just do a C-section and you don't have to kill the baby in that essence. So are you for or against third trimester abortions?
So the question is about abortion and reproductive rights. And my answer to you is that should be a decision that the woman makes.
Wasn't a question about abortion and reproductive rights. It wasn't that. It wasn't that at all. Wasn't the question. But you see what he does. He translates it for the crowd and says the same old. You know what? So this woman's presenting him with a legitimate 2019 question of science, right? Science, medical technology. What Beto O'Rourke just did there was he took it back to a 1970s philosophy class. And that's what they do. Because they're apparently the party of science, but even though you have science in the year 2019 that can deal with a third trimester pregnancy a whole lot differently, Beto wants it to stay in the 1970s philosophy class. And so he says that, and the crowd goes, woo! That wasn't the question. Woman was not asking the question. You know, there's not been one Democrat running for president, not one, who has come out and said late-term abortions are wrong. Not one. Not one. Not even one who has done the whole life of the mother thing. They haven't even done that. They're past that now. They used to do that whole thing. Well, life of the mother. Now they don't even do that. They don't even bother with that. Not even one. Let's not forget, that's also a big reason why Latino voters really do like President Trump. 5:45, let's check in with Dawn.
Good afternoon, Dawn Stensland. Here it is, 5:45, 49 degrees, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Police say surveillance video is helping them investigate dozens of tire slashings overnight in West Philadelphia. Police say the tires of nearly 70 vehicles were slashed by two guys, causing thousands of dollars in damage. Yes, it is the end of an era. Phil Martelli out as head coach of the men's basketball team at St. Joe's, St. Joseph's University, on this St. Joseph's Day. Native son Martelli, pride of St. Philomena's, the winningest coach in Hawks history. But yes, he just finished his third straight season without a winning record. St. Joe's saying that they're searching for a new coach. And apparently a happy ending for Robert Kraft, Florida prosecutors.
I see what you did there.
We got a sad ending. We got a happy ending. What am I going to say?
Are you going to say he got off?
He got off. Got apparently. Off. They're saying the prosecutors are going to drop the charges of New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft and a number of other men charged with soliciting prostitution. This is according to the Wall Street Journal. But if you want Zeoli's take, which is the Trump connection, which I thought was a brilliant, I know Greg's going to podcast that. So you want to listen to that if you missed it earlier.
We got pretty deep on that.
Yeah, but it's fascinating. I haven't heard anybody say that.
Not as deep as his massage therapist got, but it's deep. It's pretty deep.
And if you don't know the story, in February, he was one of more than 24 men charged with alleged solicitation last month in Jupiter, Florida, part of a multi-city investigation with the cops into these spas.
And today, the Democrats called for an investigation into the massage parlor owner and her connection with Trump. And I've been saying all along, this is not about prostitution, and it's certainly not about human trafficking. They have yet to arrest one person on human trafficking, Dawn. Not one.
Goodness.
Not one.
So that wasn't even the charge.
No. Goodness. Robert Kraft and the other guys just wanted a little bit of extra services, you know? A little bit of extra.
Extra.
Like, can you put your hand just a couple more inches over, you know?
Eyewitness weather. We're in the mid-50s the rest of the week. Tomorrow's going to be partly sunny. It's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow. Thursday, unfortunately, rain with heavy rain in the afternoon, allegedly.
Allegedly.
I always put that in there. I'm not the meteorologist.
No,
don't blame me.
Don't blame Dawn, by the way. It's not her fault.
Dawn Stensland with the news. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Hey, take us with you only on the radio.com app. All you have to do, download it, listen to us anytime, anywhere.
All right, now, let's see. I just got a text. My son and my father-in-law, they are getting ready to go up to their seats inside the Wells Fargo Center. Big Flyers game tonight.
Nice.
I'll be headed there after the show. I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. And tomorrow night, we're going to be at Parks Casino.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Because we are fun.
We are fun.
We are fun people.
Well, Rich Cioli is especially a lot of fun.
Dawn Stenson is especially a lot of fun. So right now, if you're caller number 12 at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, pair of tickets to come out and see us tomorrow night at Parks Casino for Conklin's Comedy Night. And if you don't get tickets, you can go to parkscasino.com/comedy. Comedy night, and get your tickets. It must be 21 or older to gamble. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll see you tomorrow night about 8 o'clock or so. Your $20 ticket includes your first drink free. And the more you drink, the funnier the show becomes. That's definitely how that works, without question. There's not even a question. Not even a doubt in my mind about that. I know that for a fact. All right, I think we covered a lot of ground today. There's a couple things I didn't get to. We'll have to get to tomorrow. We never seem to have enough time on this program, but that's okay. I think all the good audio we hit, right?
Yes, we did.
A lot of good audio.
Let me see.
So what Dawn was mentioning earlier about Robert Kraft and the massage parlors and then the investigation of the president, it is podcast. You can go to our site and get it. In fact, we'll post that one on Facebook tonight, facebook.com/Zioli Show.
Cool.
Joe can go on Facebook once he figures out what the internet is, and he can post it. That'll be good. Did you hear the story of the cop in Jersey who, the little autistic boy called the police because he couldn't find his teddy bear?
Yeah.
That's a great story. Sweet. That's a real nice story. Kid calls the cops. He's autistic. He's 12. He called 911, and the police called back, and they said, is there an emergency? And the dad said, no, he just lost his teddy bear. But their policy is to come to the home anyway whenever 911 is called. Yeah. So they came, and the kid got pictures with the officer. And it's like the story's gone viral now.
It's wonderful. We don't have enough of those positive stories about all the great things that police and law enforcement do in our communities. So that's nice that they shared it.
It's a very nice video. Very nice video. I retweeted it, too, if you haven't got a chance to see it. The cop was hugging the kid. The kid called him his hero. And, of course, they found the teddy bear. So all was right in the world. It was very good stuff. We're still trying to figure out if that guy stealing an ATM machine and boarding a bus is
real.
It looks real to me.
It definitely looks real.
It looks real.
Yeah, 100%.
Guys, dragging an ATM machine, trying to get on a New Jersey Transit bus, and he doesn't have any money. Go figure.
It's all in here.
Yeah, he's like, it's all in here. Just let me on. I'll give you, it's all in here. And he couldn't get on the bus because he didn't have a fare. He's got an ATM machine. Dragging it. The thing must be 300 pounds. Dragging it across the street. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And tomorrow, of course, we'll also cover for you a little bit more in depth the Supreme Court's ruling today. I like to read the opinions before I talk about it. But let's see. I have a second here. Dawn, did you know that more newlyweds are now going on separate honeymoons?
What?
Yes. Yes. They're now the new generation. They get married. Now they want to do their separate honeymoons. You know what I mean? It's like,
no,
I need a little alone time after the wedding, so I'm going to go on my separate honeymoon.
It's like stressful.
You're crowding me.
The groom wanted to go to France to watch soccer. The bride didn't, so she visited a friend in Toronto while her hubby headed to Europe to watch sports with his bros. That was their honeymoon. By the way, she's sleeping with somebody, so is he, by the way.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
100%.
Totally.
100%. Yeah. Not even a question, right? She visited a friend in Toronto, in air quotes. Visited
wink, wink.
A friend, right. I'm just with the guys in Europe. Yeah.
Unless they're bearding for each other.
Oh,
maybe
that could be.
There's a whole gender issue thing going on.
That could be. If you identify as a sport, you're a spork, but you identify as a toy.
I don't even know what's...
That's from Toy Story 4. We'll get back into that tomorrow as well. All right, let's do it, Greg.
One Twitter. Twitter brought to you by Fleming Defers. I'm going to give it to Karen Shablin. She says, Rich. Hey, Rich, can the reparations start with Elizabeth Warren paying all the money back she made by being a fake Indian?
Ooh, I like it. I like it. Well done. And Flemington Furs is what fabulous feels like. Yes. Flemington Furs, thank you for sponsoring Who Won Twitter. We appreciate it.
Racioli 3 to 6. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.